Hello, dear friends. Here we are with Moment of Harmony. Moments of Harmony with Eurípides Barçanufo. This is Eurípides Barçanufo. If you have never seen a picture of his last incarnation, and this is our opportunity to know more about the teachings that he was asked to bring to us. Did you know that Eurípides Barçanufo was considered by Chico Xavier as being the medium of Jesus? This book is in Portuguese, but it talks about messages that he received when he was incarnated between 1906 and 1909 in Sacramento, Minas Gerais, and spirits that were of the highest order, including Samuel Hahnemann. Can you believe the father of homeopathy? It makes so much sense because Eurípides Barçanufo, one of the things that he did was to prescribe homeopathic remedies. He was like a pharmacist. He opened a pharmacy at a time when it didn't exist. And Samuel Hahnemann is one of the spirits of the codification since Kardec's time, okay? So he says here, just as a teaser from this other book, as we're introducing the topic today, Samuel Hahnemann through Eurípides Barçanufo, back in 1906 and 1909, said, I'm going to teach you that to nourish yourself well, you primarily need to nourish your spirit. Nourish the spirit. And he says, for the spirit, you need tranquility and peace as the main nourishment. Opposite of what we're giving ourselves on the earth. Many people think that nowadays, the main problems we are having is the food that we eat. But before we worry about the material food, we need to ask ourselves, what are we nourishing ourselves with as spirits? If you think of your children, if you think of your spouse, what are we nourishing each other with? Before you worry about nourishing the body, how are we nourishing the sun? The ADHD is increasing. To me, it's no surprise. And I'll share with you the reasons why. In neuroscience, we learn that by the age 3, the brain triples its size, getting to 80% of the size that we're going to have in our adulthood. Which means, between prenatal life and the first 3 years of life, so we're talking about 4 years total, basically, we need to be very, very, very careful about how we expose this child to any stimulus, because they are picking up at a fast pace and imprinting the foundation, at least 80% of the foundation that is going to remain in their lifetime. So if you ask me, oh, Vanessa, I want to have a baby, what do I do? You and your partner, you should plan to dedicate your lives a whole lot in the very first, the prenatal life and 3 years. And according to Eurípides Barçanufo, through his teaching, Samuel Hahnemann says, we need to give the main nourishment, love, peace, and tranquility. I see people who just have newborns and they go to carnivals in Brazil. Or they go to the movie theater with a baby. Or to noisy parties with a baby. Don't go. Don't go. Mm-mm. Why? Because we're talking about the sensitive system, physiologically, spiritually. The spirit is dormant and waking up little by little to this opportunity So we have to be very responsible. And until this spirit completes 3 years of age and more, 7 years of age is the most important, we should be extremely careful. And I see parents doing the opposite. Babies are born, they give it to somebody else to take care of, and they say, well, when they're old enough, then I'm going to take care of this child. And then it's too late. Then you're going to take care of a garden that is already taken over by a lot of weed. Literally, a lot of weed. Weed, pot, drug addictions, sex addictions, etc., etc. Okay? So, our dear Hahnemann through Euripides Barsanulf. For those who want to know a little more about Euripides Barsanulf, I'll give you a little more. In this book, where we're getting the messages and the one we're reading for you tonight, there is a list about how Euripides Barsanulf had his day. From 4 a.m. to 7 a.m., he would prescribe for those who wrote letters to him. From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., he would go to the pharmacy, work on making the remedies and the deliveries. From 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m., he would go to the school, Allan Kardec, and teach. From 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., he would prescribe at a pharmacy for those who came locally and also do the manipulation of the remedies. And then from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., he would be working in the Spiritist group, Hope and Charity, helping these obsessed and sick people. This was the routine of Euripides Barsanulf when he was incarnated. From 4 to 7, 8 to 10, 10:30 to 3, 3:30 to 5, 7 to 9, and then go to sleep at 4, he would be awake, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Isn't that amazing? What a life. What a life, huh? What a life. Homeopathic remedies, sunshine. Dr. Bezerra de Menezes discarnated in 1900. And then from there on, soon after, he started prescribing homeopathy through Euripides Barsanulf in Sacramento. Euripides as the medium and Bezerra de Menezes as the spirit. Believe it or not, that's the beauty of it all. So, tonight, we're going to read a message that I think is very unique. Remember when Jesus used to say, watch and pray? And we're like, pray, I kind of know what it is. But to watch, what is to watch? Watch a game? Watch somebody else? We know what we're talking about, right? Thank you, sunshine. So, let's read this message because it's not that long, but very practical. As an educator, he knew how to give us not only the teachings, but the pathway to practicing them. He began by saying, dear brothers and sisters, may the holy joys embrace your spirits in the perfect understanding of the luminous teachings of the Divine Master. The occurrences of spiritual order in everyone's life highlight the necessity of more efforts and the perseverance in understanding the wise laws that govern our destiny. Always be vigilant. That is the word of alert that guides the path of the human individual. Therefore, not everyone adjusts to the miraculous resources of vigilance. That's because people lack the true light of enlightenment. Not all individuals are capable to be vigilant Because they ignore the foundation. And now he's going to express what it is. Vigilance is expressed in the following way. In the knowledge of the needs of others, in the help that one should offer to others that need moral and material protection, avoiding slander that poisons and pollutes the human soul, understanding the fraternal need of union with all, seeking ever more diverse ways to serve, in the illumination of the mouth with edifying and constructive words, offering a helping hand to the ones who fell in the swamps of life where they were projected by their own improvidence, analyzing each and every day the path traveled to ensure that you're not leaving any residue of lack of understanding which could bring problems and discord. Finally, search for the divine graces in the exercise of understanding the eternal laws. In this way, the individual should put him or herself before the objective of their own regeneration. This is amazing. I've never read such a straightforward message regarding an educational system to teach us how to be vigilant. So, if we could summarize in one sentence, not being, arrogant, but let's practice together, shall we? Summarize in one sentence. To be vigilant is summed up in my inner attitude of being altruistic. Got it. That's the secret we have been missing. People ask, what is to be vigilant? Keep an eye on people's needs and help them out. And you never miss the boat of life. Never. Because we'll constantly be focused. And you may be asking, but Vanessa, for example, mothers may be asking, but I am so tired. I'm focusing so much on my children's needs. Right, Vanessa Leiras, with the beautiful twins? So focused. I'm so overwhelmed. Well, take a break. Of course you deserve a break. Your body. So it's the need of the body. It's not you. Some people, they are afraid of giving their body rest, proper food, a massage, even a plastic surgery if they need. But remember, the body is not you. It's working with you and for you. So, to be vigilant also means to listen to the needs of the cells of the body. Love work. When Kardec asked, how do I know the limit of work? And the Spirit said, it's what you can do to the best of your abilities, which means it's subjective. Some people can work 12 hours straight nonstop. Others, their body, after 1 hour, they need a break. And that's okay. We need to listen to the body. It's called body awareness. For us as spiritists, it's not too much talked about. And we are talking about a topic that we evoked here by Samuel Hahnemann. He says, in the Gospel According to Spiritism, about anger, don't blame your body, because your body did not create anger. Some people punish their bodies for their sexual impulses. Yeah, it's an ancient tradition. Bad body. You want to do this. You're making me eat a whole lot. Look at the body as if you're looking at a pet. Loving pet. A puppy. Huh? Look at a puppy and care for it. Say, oh, I'm going to take care of it. A lot of problems will go away. A lot of problems. Vanessa and Vanessa's body are connected through the perispirit. But the physical body is not Vanessa. I go there, put some lipstick, not to look like a ghost at 11 p.m., of course. I go there, comb the hair, not to look like I am crazy. But if you're here at home, 5 minutes before I got live, you would see without makeup, with the hair changed, with another t-shirt, another shirt. Of course, because I am relaxed. Right now, I am combed in respect to our moment. And my body is helping me. Your body is helping you. To be vigilant means, first and foremost, to listen to the needs of your neighbor. Who is your closest neighbor? The cells of your physical body. And we often do not listen to the body's needs. We enslave it, we repress it, we smash it. And we can't. We need to nourish it. And Samuel Hahnemann said through Euripides Barsanuvo, at the beginning of the 20th century, the nourishment for the spirit comes with tranquility and peace. So we need to nourish ourselves a little more. That's why the breathing exercises, learning how to breathe, and meditating on the impermanence of life. We're here now. In some time in the future, we won't be here physically, but we'll be living. Keeping each other dearly in our hearts, working, continuing our evolution. Thank God life goes on, but not in this form. It changes. This form is passing, but we need to appreciate it. That's the number one step into vigilance. Euripides Barsanuvo says, we need to apply ourselves more. As a good educator, he's turning to us, his students, saying, please apply yourself more. Work a little bit harder. Persevere a little more in the good habits, healthy habits. How, we're asking him. Be vigilant, he's saying. The first step of your application of what you're doing is be vigilant. How? And he says, we need to go to the foundation. How? Know the needs of others. Okay, what is the need of your physical body first? Our physical body needs nourishment, food, quality food, and rest, and exercise, and hygiene. If we don't do these things, we're not being vigilant. And then diseases come, and we're like, I don't know how I got sick. Of course, there are many reasons why we may get sick. But usually, majority of them, the spirits say, it's regarding the lack of vigilance. Mm-hmm. We need to learn to make our bloodstream become more alkaline to be healthy, not too acidic. Learning the foods that make our body less acidic. Every now and then, drinking water with lemon and baking soda. to help this alkalinization of the physical body. If you cannot go to the gym for whatever reason, there are many apps that teach us to work out for the ability that you have. Many apps. And you can do 5-10 minutes a day. It doesn't need to be a million. But acknowledging the need of the body. And take a shower. Praying when we're showering ourselves. And giving that peace and tranquility to the cells. Because they are connected to, as André Luiz says in Evolution into Worlds, little animals. We need to be aware of their needs. And then the people who are closest to us. That's to be vigilant. If I'm getting home and there are family members or people in my house, let's be vigilant. Before we open the door, pray. May I enter my house with peace and tranquility to provide loving kindness to people in my house. In this house, coming with a vibrational field that is matching to what we want to achieve. Peace, harmony. So he says, we will also find vigilance in the help that we should offer to those who need moral and material protection. Especially babies. Especially children. Especially those who are sick, fragile, vulnerable, but especially pregnant women. They need protection. We can no longer push how we're doing. We're going to the opposite direction of the rhythm of nature. When people are pregnant, they need seclusion. They need peace and tranquility. They cannot, and they should, not because it's a disease, but because it's a special state of gestation of life. Not only physical, but we are imprinting vibrational marks in the perispirit of this being. We cannot and should not. I used to work during pregnancy, but I would be very careful the way I work. I wouldn't expose myself into the battlefields of life. No, no, no. If there was a meeting at work that I knew was too spicy, I found my ways out of it. I wouldn't engage. Why? Because we're responsible for the vibrational imprints we're creating in those perispirits. Making them susceptible to what's going to happen next in life. It's what we call the long-term effects of prenatal life and postnatal life. Long-term effects. Even science shows it to us. And it's surprising with so much evidence that our working system does not accommodate. It's surprising, but on the same token, I'm not so surprised. Because I've been observing that there are many people who were former men in previous lives reincarnating the body of women, and they feel the push. They may be, it's not about being homosexual or heterosexual. We're talking about that masculine push in people who have the body of women. And they don't know how to stay at home with their kids. But the first thing, yesterday was the day we celebrated International Day of Women. We need to ask ourselves, why was I born in the body of a man or a woman? Body of a woman, primarily to learn how to blossom the feminine. It's not about sexual orientation here. We're talking about blossoming the feminine. What is the feminine? Homework, okay? It's homework. Vigilance. That's what vigilance is about. Give the protection. Avoid slander. This chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi-chi that we talk in Portuguese. This pi-pi-pi-pi. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Please, let's not go there. That's the inner parent, the critical parent inside of us that is too overexcited and cannot do anything else but to talk about people's lives. Understand fraternal union, know how to serve more. Illuminate the mouth, learn how to speak more constructive words in the environment where nobody sees you. There is an exercise I want to share with you that one day the mentor shared with me. He said, one day, Vanessa, everything people are doing and saying is going to be recorded. I said, well, we're almost there, right? Almost. One day, we're going to be 24/7 exposed. Literally, physically, I'm talking. Spiritually, we are already. There are cameras everywhere. But we're talking about physically. By observing that, we'll be more vigilant in our daily lives. Not that we'll be robotic or use masks, but we're going to be more conscientious. And we'll waste less time. In vigilances, we'll be more disciplined too. That's what we're marching towards. And it may not take that long. Offer a helping hand to those who are not doing well at all. It's funny because it's easier to help a homeless in the streets that you don't know than to help somebody who makes a phone call and says that they need money. Some people are like, why do they need money? And then you give money more easily to somebody in the street whom you don't know. And that's due to the lack of our vigilance. Because if somebody came towards us, there is no chance in the universe. An obsessor is never going to tell you to help anybody. Never. An obsessor is never going to knock on our doors to say, help this person. If somebody needs help, and if somebody is asking us to help, it's always a good thing. Unless, of course, cases of the nosso lar, the woman who wanted help, and then she was going to create a lot of vibratory commotion in the colony. That's another case, but we're talking about cases such as the one I mentioned, in which you're going to offer something of you, and there won't be many more consequences but that exchange. So, analyze, he says, each and every day the path that you're traveling, and observe if you're not leaving lack of understanding that can create problems and discord. And that sometimes we see in families, in spiritist centers, in families, like somebody says something and the others disagree, and then we go our ways and we kind of not say anything. Very common in our daily lives. And we leave it, this lack of understanding. No wonder in the book Thought and Life by Emmanuel, chapter 10, which is about understanding. It's a whole lesson about the importance, as Euripides Barsanulf is telling us, of understanding, working our discernment. Understanding only comes true through the use of our reasoning. Throughout this message tonight, Euripides Barsanulf is asking us to boost our reasoning so we can be more vigilant. And the pathway to vigilance is be mindful of the needs of others. especially those who need physical and moral protection. That's how we become vigilant. So in the next 24 hours, let us ask ourselves, besides the physical body that needs our protection, we need to be mindful of the needs of this body to be fully vigilant in an incarnate life. Let us be mindful of other people's and other beings' needs. A plant that we forget to water at home. It's an intelligent principle connected to that physical plant. Let us talk to it and say thank you and forgive me for forgetting to water you. I barely drink water myself. And forgive me because I brought you home, and you're counting on me. So instead of saying I'm bad at taking care of plants, I say, you know, if you have a plant, you need to take care of the plant, or you give it to somebody else. Because that's kind of neglect is a form of abuse. Same for animals, pets, and for people in our lives. Children, teenagers need a whole lot of care. Different, but needed. Mostly, they need peace and tranquility from us to envelop them. Practice tone of voice. You know, one of the reasons why we were taught to sing a lot to Virginia is to envelop in vibrations. Eating. Sometimes I see that that day she doesn't want to sit for too long to eat a meal. At 4 years of age, of course. It's not the sitting age yet. And then I start telling a story while we're eating or singing. Singing, but very calmly. Singing. Taking a bath. Caressing, especially here. Kindly and lovingly saying, like she's brushing her teeth, and I'm there. And sometimes they don't look at themselves. So practice, say, you know, whenever we look at ourselves in the mirror, we sing. I love and approve of myself, brushing the teeth, in ways that are pleasing to God. I love and approve of myself, in ways that are pleasing to God. Practicing this mindfulness with ease and tranquility. You need it too. You, as Samuel Hahnemann says, through Euripides Barsanuf, the nourishment of the spirit needs peace and tranquility. So that's the message of tonight, my friends. Do you feel at peace? Give it to yourself. Breathing in and out and telling yourself, everything is well. I trust God. I am cared for. I don't need to worry. And that's it for today. In our moment of harmony. And until tomorrow, friends, God willing.